how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 22nd of June, 2020, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 244. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. Not live today. Just gone 17, 15 hours as I start recording this week's regular episode. I just thought I can't put myself through another live show when last week, I have to be honest, I wasn't even convinced there was a single listener engaging with the show as it went out live. You know, I've already been called David this morning by a client. Confidence is fragile. I don't need to be up all night broadcasting live to no one. I'm sure you'll understand that. I'm accruing too many of these unwanted milestones. I think what I'll do is I'll do a live show every now and then until I settle on what my options are. I'd like to do the Mixcloud thing, even though I've got quite a few followers on Mixcloud, but that's from a few years ago because of the association with Resonance and the live show during its Resonance heyday. But this Mixcloud live thing, it looks interesting. You've got to pay, I don't know, whatever it is every month. So I need to work out how I can do that. But it does allow you to see how many people are tuning in to live. And at least I'd be able to see if I could justify doing these live shows, because it means a late night. It means I don't get to sleep till about 2 or 3 in the morning because I'm trying to wind down afterwards. Tuesday is the big writing day of the week where I can spend the whole day writing. So I need to be able to justify what I'm doing with my time. I prefer to do the live shows, but I need that listener engagement with the live show, otherwise it's just not worth doing. It might make for a noisier recording in the early evening this week. It's quite busy outside. Regular listeners will know that I'm on a main road. Also, the Indian restaurant across the road, they're having an extensive refurbishment. I actually tweeted at the weekend that they looked like they were closing down. I thought this is another small business that hasn't survived the lockdown. But like Smalltalk told me yesterday, I mean, that guy knows everything about the neighbourhood. He told me yesterday when I went in to get the neighbour's paper that they were merely having a refurbishment. So there's a big truck outside, and it doesn't look that big a place inside, but they're bringing out so many bags of rubbish, I'm assuming. It looks to me like they're ripping up the floor because there are so many bags. There's got to be about 40 bin bags at least at the moment, or heavy-duty sacks, actually, that have been piled up into the back of that truck. Hopefully that won't be too noisy. They've been relatively quiet considering what they're doing out there, to be fair. So the way this is going to work, Patreon listeners will get this episode right away. Once I finish recording, then I'll upload it to Apple Podcasts, and it will be everywhere tonight, Monday night. So regular listeners, assuming there are some, will get it shortly after Patreon listeners this week. Meantime, it's time for me to focus on doing a good show, uploading it, cramming in a Star Wars Football League fixture if I can, and then I can come back to the laptop to check the show has appeared everywhere by this evening. Not decided on what the evening meal will be yet today, but I'm not too concerned. The microwave is ready to be called into action. What did I do this weekend? I read a Kathy Unsworth book, That Old Black Magic, in a single sitting. I've read all her books now, and I'd say That Old Black Magic, I'd put it up there with Bad Penny Blues, which was the first of her books that I read. And that was based on the Jack the Stripper West London killings of the early 60s. I think that's still, well, it is still unresolved. And I think it remains the most expensive unsolved police investigation in this country. And bizarrely, a very little known case. There was a very good BBC 4 documentary on that, I think, in the last couple of years, which, if it's still there, is worth watching. Kathy Unsworth also wrote a book on the Blackout Ripper. I can't remember the title of that one. And when I read that fiction on the Blackout Ripper, I'd only just become aware of him, I think, through a podcast. So it's really interesting to see what she's doing with these real life cases. And that old black magic centres on the, I think it's Hagley Wood, the Hagley Wood who put Bella in the Witch Elm mystery of 1941, and she's weaved it into this wartime mystery, you know, involving spies and a controversial medium, clairvoyant, I don't know if there's a difference. Helen Duncan, I think she was the last person to be prosecuted for witchcraft in this country. That was in the early 40s during the war. And it's just a brilliant piece of work, and I just couldn't put it down. And when you come across a book like that, it is very hard right now for any TV show out there for me to be able to compete with a book that is that good. It was an absolute pleasure to read. There wasn't even that usual disappointment I sometimes feel when I'm coming to the end of a book. I just thought, forget about that. Forget about the disappointment that I've finished this. Just be glad that I've read this. But there is some disappointment, I suppose, that I've now read all her work and I've now got to wait for her next book to come out. But it's a brilliant piece of work. Put the bins out this afternoon, early afternoon, after my run. I think I can already feel that as I'm recording, already feeling that on the lower back. I did, though, I'm pleased to report, avoid the issue that I've been having with my recycling bags with the labels from my 6 pints of semi-skimmed milk peeling off and sticking to the recycling bags, making it very hard for me to dispense of those milk bottles without getting my hands dirty in those bins. So progress there. I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear about that. In other news, I had to turn down an editing gig this week because the subject matter jarred with me. It was housing related, and I thought, as much as I need the money, especially as I'm shortly going to be significantly upgrading my recording equipment for the show, and I'm going to need to replace what is going to be a very big financial splash on this equipment, I'm going to need to replace that money. I can't be a hypocrite. You know, even with my fragile hold on this tenancy, I can't be doing work that I know is at odds with certain views I hold on certain things, in this case, housing. And I felt uncomfortable at the prospect of working on the show from the outset, but would have been another client, and from that point of view, it's disappointing. But it's the right thing to do. I talked it over with the Space Daddy. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't making another bad decision. He said it was good to have the concerns. I did. He said this after I checked with him that he was fully dressed. He does have a habit of not being dressed, and I really do mean not being dressed when he's in his room. He is someone who does feel the heat and the summer, so does strip off when he's working. Acoustically, I believed him. I think the acoustics, because he is quite a large guy, the acoustics that come over the phone when you're on the phone to him in the summer, you can tell when he's wearing little or no clothing. Anyway, we were discussing this decision that I needed to make, and he said to me that I needed to break it down because there's two sides to everything. There are good landlords, there are bad landlords. Personally, I'd like to have met more good landlords than I have, but I take his point. And of course, there are certainly bad tenants. There might not be any issues with the possible audio assignments that were ready to wing their way to me initially from this potential client, but at some point there would have been an episode which was going to conflict with my views. So I think it was just best to head it off at the outset. Financially, bit of a blow, but it was the right decision long term. Some brighter news, a run today, got it out of the way, hoping to do 3 runs this week. I think the last couple of weeks I've just done 2, which is probably down to laziness. I can use the excuse of the weather being too warm. As I keep saying in recent weeks, you'll always find excuses not to do something. And for me, the discipline kicks in more often than not, but sometimes it doesn't. And certainly with a run-in, I do have to push myself to be out there, put some Sun Factor 50 on, feeling the knee, now the left knee. I did do some exercises on the knee-specific exercises before the run. I think it's felt better over the weekend, the knee. I'm feeling it now because I've been out for a run today, but I think it felt better over the weekend. I like to think that that is more to do with the fact that I've been doing these knee strengthening exercises rather than the fact I only ran twice last week. I didn't enjoy it out there today. It wasn't as hot as it's meant to be. I mean, they're saying that it's supposedly hotter in London than in Ibiza this week. There were some bathers out in force, but in London, you only need the sun to threaten to come out to see these posers descending to the parks. But it was warm, and I do find it hard running in warm weather. Dropped below the 7K I'd run at the end of last week. Now, I suppose the important thing is that I got out there today. Psychologically, I'd like to stay above 7K, given that I was doing up to 11K 5 or 6 weeks ago. It's disappointing that I seem to be regressing, but I think partly that is down to the weather and finding that a real challenge. But there were two incidents today which I've never experienced in the 12 months that I've been running, where I had two flies enter my mouth. The first one was just as I was walking into the park. I was setting the Strava app. I was walking under a tree, and this little thing flew into my mouth. And for about 5 minutes, I thought that I'd been stung on the lip. I thought I was going to be running with an Elvis lip. And I delayed my run. I was trying to see my lip on my phone. I didn't even realize that I had a mirror app on the phone, so I used that for the first time. I couldn't see anything, but the lip felt very sore. But I did spit whatever it was that had gone into my mouth. I spat it out because I had to on the street before I went into the park, and I crouched down to see what it was that had shot into my mouth. It wasn't a normal fly. It looked like some kind of beetle, tiny beetle, very shiny. And I thought, what the hell is that? Because I sensed it. Sorry, you'll have heard the cables there. I've got quite a few cables here in this very, very strange setup I've got to record the show. Where was I? This thing that had flown into my mouth, it was very small, but didn't look like a normal fly. I think it was some kind of beetle. I'm assuming beetles fly. I don't know. I don't know anything about the insect world other than I expect to pay a price for all the ants that I stepped on deliberately. As a kid, but didn't we all? I wonder if they'll call that in when it comes to the afterlife admission process. So that was the first thing. I finally started running when I was relatively confident that I hadn't been stung. I thought that would be a bizarre incident. And then when was it? Then it was as I was coming to the end of that dreadful uphill climb that I have on the first lap, which lasts maybe 6 to 8 minutes, I think I keep saying. It feels like longer in this heat, and I was really, really slow today on that climb. My pace today was okay because I'd started off quite fast. The reason I'd started off fast today actually was because I was stuck on the usual route that I take. I was stuck behind three runners, all of whom were going very slow. Even by my standards. So I overtook them, and I think that probably helped me achieve the pace that I did, because for most of the rest of the run, I was, I think, fairly slow, and I put that down to the weather. As I was nearing the end of that climb, and this felt like a proper fly, just shot into my mouth as I was running through this path, this long grass chunk of that route, where the ground is so uneven, and I almost buckled over at one point, actually. It was like the opening or the closing credits of Little House on the Prairie with Laura Ingalls when she's running through the meadow. This is an old audience. I think you should get that reference. I think the youngest listener might be Nick, and even though Nick Bryan looks very youthful, I think he is also now perhaps entering middle age. So I think even Nick might get that Little House on the Prairie reference, hopefully. So I almost went over in the long grass, but at that point, this thing shot into my mouth. And again, I had to spit this thing out. I didn't see it come out, but I felt it go in. and I got rid of it. But I thought, what is it that I'm doing today? I've been running for 12 months. This has never happened. Now it's happened twice in the space of 45 minutes. What am I doing? Do I need to start running with my mouth closed? Given how many times I've broken my nose, is that even possible? So that's a concern. Now, I was running last summer, but I was running very, very short distances last summer. So I'm wondering whether this is going to be something that I'm going to have to deal with over the next 3 or 4 months before the colder weather comes in. I think I was praising that Indian restaurant refurbishment going on across the road for being relatively quiet. I'm hearing it getting a bit noisier now. So apologies if you can hear that. As unpleasant, as challenging as the run was, and the second lap I did cut my route towards the end because of the heat, but the positivity I felt back indoors once I got home, the way I was thinking when I got back to the flats, that blue sky thinking, that was down to the run. And that post-run feeling for me is invaluable. That alone is worth doing, because you know, after another quiet weekend, it wasn't that bad a weekend, actually. And I think partly the football coming back, more of which later, that's a bit of a distraction. There was a minor mental wobble on Sunday evening, just a moment where, you know, I felt very low. But this is the counter to that. So that post-run feeling gives me so much. And just from that point of view, I need to keep doing this, and I will keep doing this. It's obviously part of my life now, whether I enjoy it or not. It is routine. It's like getting up and going to the man back in the day, if you'll excuse the Americanism. The only time that I really want to run is when I'm going somewhere now fully dressed. For instance, the cemetery last week, or when I'm going to the shops on Thursday afternoon, especially if it's really warm and I'm walking through the park. It kind of feels like walking is no longer fast enough for me. And I start thinking, it's almost like I'm getting itchy feet. I'm thinking, I wish I could run right now. I'd rather run this than walk it. But, you know, I'm in my clothes. I'm in the wrong shoes. But there is that urge to just break into a run, because I know that for the first time in years, I am now able to do that. What I need is for that feeling to transfer over into when I'm actually running. That's what I need. Before the run, as I was preparing for the run, doing my pre-run stretches indoors, just, you know, concentrating on the troublesome knee. There was another ruckus outside. There are so many now. And I just think that there are people out there who know they're not going to see the police. You'll hear the, you know, police sirens. You'll see the cars racing by, but you just don't see any police on the streets around here. And I could hear what sounded like a woman shouting. I couldn't see what was going on, and as I was about to head out, I thought, I'll have a look and see what the disturbance is, because I don't want to be out there and feel like I have to step in. You know, I've talked about it before, stepping into something years ago and no one came to my aid, and that kind of teaches you a real lesson about what people, certainly in London, are like. And I finally saw this young woman with what they call, I think they call it a Croydon facelift, white woman with the hair scraped back. She had a little girl with her. She was on the phone. She was shouting at a man, maybe in his mid-30s, a white guy looking completely bemused by it. He had his own child with him. They were outside the shop, and she was just, you know, she was hurling abuse at him. She was on her phone. And she was telling this guy that she was around with that she was calling her boyfriend to come over and F him up. Those were her actual words. And the logic behind that, I'm thinking, so you want your boyfriend to come and, in your words, F this guy up because you've had a row with him for whatever reason. He's with his little kid, okay? You're with your little kid. His kid looks shocked. Your kid looks nonplussed by this incident. So I'm gauging from that this kid is used to seeing this kind of behavior from you, and you're wearing your high street sportswear, again another poor advertisement for Sports Direct clothes, and we've got enough going on. We've got you know, we're trying to come through a pandemic, we're seeing what's happening in other countries, we're seeing the R rate go up in Germany, we're wondering whether the same thing's going to happen here, just as the Prime Minister's talking about cutting the social distancing so we can try and kickstart the economy and open up our restaurants and cafes and pubs. We've got all that going on. We've got the Black Lives Matter protests going on. We've got the Reading incident yesterday. So we're living in really bleak times, a time when it almost feels like the 80s, like all the progress that had been made in terms of racial tolerance, in terms of, you know, stamping out homophobia, all that appears to have gone. You know, Brexit seems to have brought about a renaissance in these views. And the thing that bothers me about that is it kind of tells me that maybe this stuff never went away, that it was always there, and just these people never felt that they could voice these opinions, which they always held. And now suddenly after 30 years, they feel they can voice these opinions. So we've got all that going on. We've got a knife crime epidemic, certainly in London, you know, which we had, I think, in the late noughties as well, but we've got another one now. And there's all this going on. And there are some real positives happening in communities, you know, food banks, people coming together, you know, people initially to take up for, I think, supporting people who were stuck at home during the pandemic, during the early weeks of the lockdown. We've had all these kind of feel-good stories. We've had that old major or whatever his military ranking was, raising all that money for charity, all these feel-good stories. But you're out there while we're stuck in this situation and you're trying to call your boyfriend to come and attack a man that you've had a row with. And then what? What's the plan after that? Your boyfriend, I'm assuming, would eventually be caught, go to prison, is going to serve how much time? I don't know. What are you going to do? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to bring your kid to, you're going to be taking your kid to prison every week to see their dad? How's your relationship going to be when he comes out, maybe after he's been buggered during his prison years? It beggars belief that these people are out there. When you think about what life might be, or why are we here, how might the afterlife work, what are we meant to be learning down here, if you believe in things like reincarnation, if you believe in things like every cycle of life that you live should make you a better person, and that your next life you'll be an improved person, you'll have learnt the lessons of this particular life. I can never get my head around how the afterlife might work in terms of accommodating these kind of people, these kind of nasty people. It just leaves me dismayed to see these kind of incidents, to see people out there who are that nasty that they can pick up their phone to call someone to go in and fix some score, settle some score for them through the means of violence. It really does dampen your spirits to see that. Anyway, ways to get in touch, Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg. Probably needed a segue to get into giving out the social media details. Facebook.com/TheRT is available. That page is still not functioning properly. That's being looked into, but it's going to be probably a while before I have full access to that. It's an absolute pain. And you can email the show, DRT, available at westegg1607.co.uk. As I said last week, the show is now out on YouTube, youtube.com/DanielRuizTyson. There are over 200 videos on there. So if you like what you see, do please subscribe to that channel. And the show is also on Overcast, the app. I think that's an Apple app. If you're an Apple user, you might want to listen to the show on there, though for some reason the RSS feed on there doesn't produce the show's artwork. I've contacted them about that. They came back with a very sort of complex email. Basically, that's another thing that's out of my hands. I really can't do much about that. But if you can get past the absence of any app, artwork, even that app might be something that you're interested in trying. So as mentioned earlier, I watched some of the football over the last few days. It's good that football's back, but I've not really missed it because it's allowed me to do other things and read even more and relax even more. It is weird to see these games being played in empty stadiums, but then again, if anyone knows what it's like to do stuff, to put on shows without an audience, it is yours truly. I mentioned the football because I noticed that one of the backroom staff, it might have been during the Everton v Liverpool game yesterday, was wearing one of the cheap surgical masks that I wear to the supermarkets. Can't recall if it was an Everton or Liverpool member of staff, but I thought, you're working for a Premier League club, either you or they can surely afford something better, because I've seen a few other members of staff during the various football games that are being played right now wearing some of the heavy duty face masks that I have worn myself, that I found very uncomfortable on the bridge of the nose. Other things that I've noticed during these games, the players seem to be tapping wrists rather than handshakes. So it's not even an elbow, it's like the two wrists tapping. Isn't that still unhygienic? I mean, I know it's not the hand, but isn't that still unhygienic? On the mask, it was last Thursday, the face mask. I was off to the shops. I'd left the flat in the afternoon, was making my way downstairs around 14:30 hours, opened the front door, saw a bus pulling up outside at the bus stop that's right outside this building. Someone was getting off with a face mask, and I realised at that moment that I'd forgotten mine. I just wear it in the supermarket. I don't wear it through the streets now after, walking through the park 2 or 3 weeks ago and feeling like an idiot for being the only guy wearing it. I went back upstairs thinking, oh man, now I've got to take off my shoes again. And as I got to the middle floor, I'm on the top floor, as I got to the middle floor, I saw this young tenant for the first time exiting his flat. He's the boyfriend of the girl I ran into 3 or 4 weeks back in the building, the girl whose social distancing was poor. That was the first neighbour I'd actually physically seen during the lockdown. Then the following day, I saw the neighbour from one of the ground floor flats. Now, unlike his girlfriend, his social distancing was impressive. He looked, if anything, alarmed to see me coming up the stairs. I like to think, because it presented us with an awkward social distancing moment that we needed to deal with, rather than he was shocked because of my hair. He was on his mobile. He walked back to his flat. There's a blind spot on that middle floor. The flat is tucked away around a corner on that middle floor. I thought it would be rude to say nothing, and even though he disappeared, I just gave him the hello. I got a greeting back. We both handled the moment well. I thought he had a very dark beard, glasses. The beard was very wispy. Despite its darkness, it looked like a reasonable breeze could blow it off his face. He was off to the shop across the road. I got back indoors. I removed my shoes, got my face mask, and then I waited to hear him returning back from the shop before making my exit. The queues right now, the external queues for the supermarkets, they aren't that long. I mean, Lidl last Friday, more of which later in the show, no queuing for Lidl. Right in, like the pre-pandemic days, which I suppose is a bit of a concern to me. It feels too soon for us to be abandoning those external supermarket queues. Meantime, going back to Thursday, that was the visit to Sainsbury's. I was in the health section on Thursday afternoon looking for some vitamins to complement the microwave meals I regularly have out of sheer laziness. I was in the face mask. There was a little girl in the aisle as I was looking. I think I was looking for vitamin A tablets, which I couldn't find. The girl was about 2 or 3 years old. She said hello. I thought, that's amazing. I'm in a face mask and she thinks nothing of saying hello to me. She gives me the hello. I'm in a mask. I was touched, genuinely. I thought it was a really lovely moment. I helloed her back because I was in the mask. I felt I could be a bit more extrovert with my hello delivery, my interaction with the kid. I think the mask elevated it to a level that's far more comfortable with kids, strangers' kids anyway, than I normally am. So I kind of did a bit of a cartoony voice. The moment reminded me of James Wales's Frankenstein, the 1931 version, when the monster, by then on the run, encounters the farmer's young daughter. It brought to mind that, but without the grim ending. Meantime, the girl's mum had two more kids in a buggy. They must have been twins, maybe a year old, I'm guessing. She was in the family planning section. I think she was doing the right thing. Maybe she should have done it earlier. I mean, the world is overpopulated right now. Do you want to be bringing in more children into this world where from time to time we may have to be wearing face masks? But it was a nice moment with the toddler. I guess the kids right now, they've gotten used to seeing the adults in masks, which is just completely weird when you think about it. But this little kid, she just wasn't fazed by my appearance. She wasn't judging the hairstyle, and you know, she's probably enough adult males in her life for her to have clocked my mullet and thought, that's a strange hairstyle. I've not seen that on any other guys that I see, any of the adult men that I see in my life. I've never seen that before. There was none of that. She was comfortable with her hair. She was comfortable with a mask. She led on the hello. It was a nice moment. The Clippers, meantime, talking about the hair, the Clippers have arrived, though I have still not shaved the head. I'm worried. It's not so much the trauma itself of shaving it all off, though I'm sure that that will be a shock when I do it because I've not done it for years. But overall, I know that it's going to be preferable doing that to carrying these extra pounds in my skull. And it has to be done for the simple reason that I am not going to a barber's. I can't see myself going to a barber's for the rest of the year. I mean, can you? Do you think you're going to be going to a barber's if you're a female listener? Do you think you're going to be going to a hair salon right now? It's the rear of the head, I think, that's really worrying me. How I'm going to tackle that. I've got some ideas, but I'm not overly confident. Meantime, Stuart, the overfed Hall of Fame tweeter, put in a rare Twitter appearance on Friday afternoon. I'd have cancelled my shopping if I'd known he was going to be tweeting. I told him that in a tweet. At his peak, this man's Twitter threads were a thing of beauty. Sometimes when he'd start tweeting, I'd just pull up a chair and sit down to read his threads. He always struck a chord with me, particularly his trips to the barbers. And I'd mentioned on Friday, I think, as well as the arrival or the impending arrival of the Clippers, which did arrive on Friday early evening. I mentioned that I'd bought a new mirror, not big enough, not just because I'm a forceps delivery, but simply not big enough to be using in addition to the mirror fixed to the bathroom wall. Me to get a good look at the back of my head when I'm trying to do my own hair. And also I can't multitask, and that doing your own hair, especially the back of the hair, to me it's kind of, it comes across as being as difficult as trying to park a car, something I've not done since 1992. Stuart tweeted, that double mirror maneuver is the acme of self-haircutting, almost impossible, good luck. And he's right, and that's why I'm stalling it. It's going to happen, but the neckline, getting that right is, I think, what's concerning me. In my head, I've been trying to work out the strategy. How am I going to do it? I think that I'll have to tie the hair at the back, which is ridiculously long. It really is possibly now the longest mullet of my life. I'm going to have to tie it back, I think. I'm going to have to go for the sort of U2 Joshua Tree era ponytail, the worst ponytail that you can have now. I'm going to have to bunch that hair at the back, maybe wet shave the neckline first, get it all even, and then see if I can work the back with the clippers. But I do expect it to be perhaps a few haircuts before I can get that right. I do see some videos that pop up on my Instagram feed, lots of barbershop videos. Things like I was never aware that barbers did this when guys have short hair, when the barbers are very ambitious with their fades. They stick masking tape on short hair to work out where the fades should go. So usually at the top of a guy's hairs, you know, it'll mean that maybe, say, for example, the top of the hair is going to be a 4 and the sides are going to be a 2. So they wrap masking tape around the top of the head to know where that division of the fades is going to be. And, you know, I'm probably a couple of haircuts away from being able to even consider doing something like that. But, yeah, I am stalling at the moment on the clippers. It's good that they're in the flat. It's good that they've arrived. It's good that I was patient enough to be able to get them for an affordable price. But now is the time to actually find the courage to do it. Minty Matt, King of the Shataf, out in the Gulf. Matt mentioned he's on his third, what he called a Corona cut. He does have the Don Draper Turner phrase about him, our super clean friend out in the Gulf. I'm assuming Matt has someone in the family doing these Corona cuts of his. I don't know if he rotates them or whether he's settled on having one family member just, you know, overseeing these haircuts because they've impressed him enough with the clippers and he now feels that they're the go-to family hairdresser. I don't have that option, and I'm under no illusions it's going to be a huge task to get it right. The bucket hat came, not as described, no surprise there, similar to what was advertised, but still not the same. Didn't have the logo, a very low-key logo, I have to say, that was embroidered rather than printed. And, being very anal about these things, I noticed it right away. I kept comparing the hat to what I'd seen on screen, and eventually I made contact with the seller. You know, I'm a low-key guy, I don't need the logo, but if I've bought something, I need it to look exactly as it appears on my screen. I had requested an extra large. I tried it on, it was tight. I thought, that can't be an extra large. I took the hat off, I looked at the label. Extra large, really? I thought, checking myself out in the mirror, looking like I was wearing a top hat. I'm hoping that when I shear the skull, the hat won't be such a tight fit. That's what I'm pinning my hopes on. They also included, rather curiously, they probably thought it was a nice touch, they included what appeared to be a military fatigue face mask. I was cheesed off, I hadn't been sent the right hat. So when I saw the face mask, I was thinking, just send me what I bought. I don't need any bonuses, just give me the hat. And also the thinking behind it, military fatigues face mask, a real contrast with the plain navy blue bucket hat that I bought, which is clearly suggestive of a low-key personality because you offer other colours, other flamboyant colours and designs, and I've gone for the plainest hat that you have. But you think the person behind such a low-key hat purchase is going to have no compunction whatsoever about wearing such a flamboyant face mask. That makes no sense to me. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, episode 244, Sweating the Small Stuff, Mondays and Thursdays. Support the show at patreon.com/DRT, available for just $7 a month. It's a single tier. I've kept it all simple. And for just $7 a month, you get an extra show every Thursday. I think that's as good a deal as you'll get out there for an independent show. And that money coming in supporting the show helps keep this show independent. I won't be trying to sell you any mattresses. Other ways to support the show, you can do your Amazon shopping via the Amazon link at DanielRuizTyson.com, the home of all my work. Amazon recognizes that you've come through the Amazon link on my website and clicks back a small percentage of your purchase back to my work at no extra cost to you. And as I say all the time, and as all the big podcasters say successfully, Apple podcast reviews are crucial to increasing this show's visibility. I look at the downloads in the iTunes store and they're always good for the latest show, but there are no new reviews. I've had one review, I think, in what is it now, 44 shows since the show returned from its 22-month break. That is a poor return. Rate, review, subscribe to the show on iTunes, share it on social media. All this helps, and certainly an RT is just a click, a moment of your life. Moving on now, I think it's coming up to about 40 minutes this week's show at the moment. Moving on, I put in a decent week's writing last week. I'm now at that stage that allows me to rest my eyes a bit, which are rapidly declining. That's probably a bigger priority than going to the dentist or going to the barbers, is going to the opticians and getting the right glasses. So I'm at the stage now that allows me to rest my eyes as I work on the latest printout of my script. And my temperamental printer was at it again, just did what it wanted rather than what I wanted it to do. It refused to print the first 20 pages double-sided. And it's been hard enough for me to get used to double-sided printing, but I've made an effort with it in the last few months for multiple reasons, saving money and also saving paper for environmental reasons, you know, not just trying to save paper for frugal reasons. So it gave me the first 20 pages single-sided. All the rest of the script was double-sided. And this happened to me once last year too. And I remember it throwing me to the extent that I feel it seriously impacted on that particular script. I just found it so confusing. It almost feels like the script, the way it's been printed, it almost sums up things for me now. There's just a bit of everything going on. Let's give you some freelance life ads now. I haven't done those for a few months. Been collecting these for a while. I think this one might be from last month. Digital marketing manager. I didn't write down where this one was from. I'm looking for an absolute rock star that can dig their teeth into my spiritual / entrepreneurial, and you tripped over that, online business and optimize it like a wild stallion. Digital marketing is key. I have a lot of digital products, a podcast, and a book that all need a higher level of synthesis and vision. I'm not a handholder, and I can't work with people that need a lot of development for this position. I need a marketing genius that loves the freedom to create unique strategies to fulfill sales and influence goals. So I think for $25, they're going to find it very hard to find this wild stallion that they're looking for. Meantime, this one was from the 4th of June. This one was in Italy. We are looking for a freelance writer. We are looking for a person who is capable of manipulating people through writing. I'm sure that maybe over in Italy and Spain, that translated doesn't come across as cynical as it does in the English language. Now, ads, my Vicks is running. I think my Vicks is actually melting. I've got a moustache of Vicks just under my nose to help me breathe properly while I'm recording, and it's actually running into my top lip. Now my lip is tingly. Vicks lip. Okay, these final two ads, they're from the last 3 or 4 days. The first one, this is from the States. I'm looking for someone to jazz up my short story. This is based on a dream that I had a couple of years ago. I have some romance in it, but it is an apocalyptic story. Make it come to life and correct any grammar errors. Might that be the job for you? Why was this guy sitting on this story for 2 years? And at what point did he think, okay, is this was a romantic dream, but it had an apocalyptic angle to it? Or has he just added that on over time? Has he perhaps started reimagining what that dream originally was? Okay, the final one, and I can't remember where this one is from now. I saw this one on Saturday morning. The title was Warning: This Job Involves Explicit Content. I have an audio recording of my wife sleeping with another man. I want to hear the words that are spoken between them. I don't know why you would torture yourself. Seriously, why would you torture yourself? What difference does the words they're speaking, what difference is that going to make to your relationship? It's over. You got to get on with your life. How's that going to help you move forward? You know, if you start dating again at some point when you've got over this affair and you're meeting your next person and they're telling you about their past, you're telling them your history, what are you going to say? You're going to mention that you put an ad out on some freelance site for someone to enhance some audio recording of your ex-wife sleeping with another guy? How are you going to explain to her how or why it was so important for you to hear the words that were spoken between them? I don't understand that. I think this guy just needs to end the relationship and move on. That job, by the way, that was $20. So he's asking a lot for $20. He finishes his ad by saying the audio is about 45 minutes long. I'm thinking that guy must be on Viagra, or maybe he dragged out the foreplay. 45 minutes, that's a long time, especially in these very strange times, stressful times that we're living in. I wonder if this was a pre-lockdown hookup or whether it's during the lockdown. I'm not sure it makes any difference. Let's round up this week's regular show with my latest Nectar Points update. A trip, sadly, to Lidl's Brixton First, where South London's fiercest shop staff were once again at it, this time amongst themselves. One of them was the man who's been supervising the self-checkouts over the last few weeks. I didn't recognize the other guy. It quickly escalated and became a mask-to-mask confrontation, less than a meter social distancing, which at the rate we're going by the end of this week won't be too much of a problem, according to our government. There was a customer at the self-checkout, male pensioner, early 70s maybe, telling them to stop being silly. They were meant to be colleagues. They were setting a bad example to all. It was all getting a bit Lee Boyer and Kieran Dyer scrapping it out at Newcastle in 2006 with the peacemaking pensioner on the cusp of taking on the Gareth Barry and Aston Villa mantle of breaking them up. I was just glad to get out of there. In better news from Lidl, better fish transportation last week, which really pleased me. I slipped the budget breaded fish into the rucksack, protected it with It's Not Okay magazine, a 3-pack, couldn't find It's Not Okay on its own. So the padding from the extra magazines helped to keep the fish better protected. And it was the first time I got home without any fish breakage. The nectar points, the actual nectar points update now. Give me my receipt. There's two receipts. 18th of June, I couldn't find my pizza, my thin and crispy spicy chicken pizza, but I did have one anyway in the fridge. So I've stocked up on them over the last few weeks, bought 6 pints of milk, bought another yogurt. I bought some thin bleach to tackle some issue with a washing machine. Mickey Blue told me that it's worth sticking some thin bleach into the drum and putting it on a spin, and that should clear up any clogging. Just more DIY stuff for me to be doing. Bought some Sainsbury's own beans, another coffee refill. I'm just, every week I say it, I'm drinking so much coffee. There's the voice going. I've got some fizzy water by mistake over to my left. Single orange, 28p. Their oranges aren't too great at the moment. And a loose baking potato. I've gone in, actually. No, actually, I've given you the wrong receipt. So I've gone in with 494 points. So 6 off the magical 500 mark. And I've gone in on 494 because on the 16th of June, which was Tuesday, I'd gone to Sainsbury's on my way to the cemetery. I had to clear up the cemetery. Patron supporters will have heard that show. That was episode 243. I hadn't been to the cemetery for 3 months. It was a real state. And on the way back, I bought the neighbour's Radio Times and some milk again. The OCDs of milk where I can't have less than 10 pints in the fridge right now. I've gone in there on 490 points, accrued 4 with that purchase that had come to £4.45. That left me on 494 points worth £2.47. So I then spent £14.68 last Thursday in Sainsbury's, accrued 14 points. That took me past the magical 500 barrier, and I'm now on 508 points. And I tend not to sit on the 500 points. You know, I'm always the kind of guy who'll use up those 250 points or whatever it is that I can use now. I mean £2.50. So I can now get something free for £2.50. So rather than sitting and waiting until I can build this up into something where I can, I don't know, you know, buy some furniture in one of the bigger Sainsbury's. I mean, we've had listeners over the years who've had about 27,000 nectar points, not far off from that, which turn out not to be worth that much. But I'm not the kind of guy who lets these build up. For me, it's always about getting to the 500 mark and then, you know, capitalizing on that and getting whatever I can and, you know, benefiting from that. Thrown there by the usual police car, 18:13 hours UK time, police car interrupts show again. Whatever time I'm recording, there's always a police car, the sound of South London. So that's it, I'm on 508 points. Sloth Saturday, Champions League Star Wars game was running late. Sloth Saturday is the day, of course, when I tend not to exercise and just overeat, one day of the week where I just try not to do anything, although the guilt has been getting to me now regarding Sloth Saturday, to the extent that I tend to have a very short workout after I've had the calzone conversion pizza. So with the Champions League Star Wars game running late, and I'll bring you those results on Thursday's Patreon edition, I'd gone for the little pizza for the calzone conversion because it would be ready 6 minutes sooner. Goes in gas mark 7, and it's 11 minutes as opposed to the 15 to 17 minutes on gas mark 6 with the Sainsbury's budget pizza. Better fold over this time on the little pizza, the Cajun chicken pizza. Better placement of the added toppings. I learned from the fold over disaster a couple of weeks ago when the pizza just started breaking up in the oven and I ended up, you know, having what looked like an omelette. So I was pleased with that. Certainly thinner bread, but it meant I didn't eat as much. So all in all, I was fairly happy with it. Added some corn, some grated cheese, tomatoes, ham that hadn't expired, unusually for me, and some red pepper. Sunday morning, yesterday morning, I mixed up crackers from three different supermarkets for breakfast to see if I could identify which ones were the supposedly crunchy Tesco crackers. The packaging proclaimed, I can't remember if I mentioned those crunchy Tesco crackers in episode 242 or the Patreon episode 243. I did mention it on one of those two, though. I couldn't tell which were the Tesco crackers. Might be one of those things I won't realise until I stop having them, and I might just one morning be having a Sainsbury's cracker and thinking, I've obviously run out of Tesco crackers. I'm missing that crunch. And that is it. That is the end of this week's show. I've just got to get Wednesday and Thursday out of the way. I'll be laying down dust sheets on Wednesday evening after recording this week's Patreon episode in readiness for the Housing Association guy coming on Thursday morning to have a look at the leaking roof, hoping that that can be fixed this summer. It will not get through another winter, so it will be the second attempt at fixing the roof that these guys have tried to carry out. I'm not exactly feeling confident about this. I'll be wearing a face mask. They'll be wearing a face mask. I'm not sure how we'll handle the rest of it, the interaction. I don't want to be doing any of that wrist tapping that football managers are doing, and this study where the roof is leaking, it's quite small, so I'm not sure where I should be standing as they're examining it. They're also going to have to come into the bedroom because you can get a view of the roof from there. So hygiene wise it's going to be a nightmare. And of course the dust sheets, I never know which side the dust sheets have been laid down previously. They might have been laid down, well, this time I might be laying them down on the side that was actually facing up and being stepped on by Mickey Blue when he came to fix a leak back in February. So all these things will test my OCDs, but they need to be done. So that is it from me anyway. Until Thursday, Patreon listeners, you'll get your weekly bonus edition, episode 245, on Thursday morning. If you're a regular listener, if you want to join the patrons, if you want to be patron number 17, sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. I think you'll be hard pushed to find a better podcast bargain on this Thursday's show. I'll also be discussing a possible Star Wars Football Champions League expansion that's being mooted. More on that on Thursday. Thank you guys for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this start of the week, I have been available.